Sermon this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 40 through 44. The sermon will focus on 40 and 41. Luke, chapter 4, starting with verse 40. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. Laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we look to take your word, what you have said to us, for our instruction and to build us up and to encourage us, to complete us, that we would be adequate, equipped for every good work. God, please do this great work in our hearts now. Help us to carefully listen to what you have said, to look and see the overlap in our own lives, how to apply these things, that you will be glorified as we put off the old man and as we put on the new, as we put off old patterns of sin and old patterns of complacency. And we follow you in righteousness, walking in truth and proclaiming your truth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 40, while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. I wonder how you would look at this idea. Imagine if we were in downtown Beaver Falls, for example. Man, we don't have streetlights at that point. Maybe there's some torches about. The sun begins to set. What would it be like then if everybody, and we'll just put ourselves in our old house on 4th Avenue down there. What would it be like then if everybody in downtown Beaver Falls, as the sun was setting, grabbed everybody that they had that was sick or had a demon and started bringing them to the residence where we were? Would that be a pretty picture? Would that be an enjoyable sight? Would that be filling us with joy, or would that be a disturbing scene? There was one night when we lived down there, and we had been threatened in a fashion when we lived down there. And I was overcome with this urge and this desire to display some dominance or display that I wasn't afraid at that point, so they wouldn't be coming for us as victims. So I grabbed both of my tall sons, and I grabbed Douglas, and I said, "Doug, try to look scary here, buddy." And we all pulled ourselves up to our full height, and we all went walking down to the street, down to the corner where Leslie had been threatened. And as we walked down, the basement of the men's shelter there opened up, and for some reason, everybody was coming out at that time, and I felt like I was in some kind of zombie movie at that point, as these men were coming out, many of them staggering. None of them put together at that point. And I looked and I thought, this was a really bad idea. As I stood there and I wanted to just say, "Run, run," to the boys that were with me. That idea and that position, this is a scary picture and a heavy picture. Everybody who was sick was being brought to the door of Peter's mother-in-law's place. Everybody who had a demon that was around them was coming out at twilight at this point. We look and we see the heart of the people at here. And what was it? It wasn't the people who were sick said, "I'm going," necessarily. It certainly wasn't the people who were demon-possessed said, "I'm going," at this point. But it was their loved ones. Their loved ones had heard. Their loved ones who had been in synagogue, who had been in church. They'd heard that Jesus was there. They heard that Jesus healed someone. They had heard that Jesus had cast out a demon. And at that point, they went to their loved ones and said, "Let's go. Let's go see this guy. It appears that the crowd was so vast and so great, it was all night long that this was going on. To the point the next morning, Jesus, probably weak in his human flesh, said, "I have got to get out of here and get out into the woods." He took off to a secluded place in the wilderness to be strengthened and encouraged from that point. So this heavy burden and this heavy picture, each of us could look at our lives and we see the people who are around us that are sick. We see the people who are around us that are burdened. We see the people around us, and if we are honest, we know what they need. They need to meet Jesus Christ, who heals the sick, who raises the dead, who even casts out demons. So as we would be honest, and as we would be loving, the call for you is to bring the bound and the helpless to Jesus Christ. Our first step is to look for hours of darkness to lead to light. We are given these words in verse 40, while the sun was setting. Some of us have known the burdens and the sorrows of the sun going down. Some of us have been afraid to go home. Some of us have been out after dark and have been worried about the sun setting. Each of us have known the shadows that come and the fears that come with the darkness. But as we look at what is taking place here, we look and we see something great and beautiful about to happen as the sun is setting. Although it is a darkness on the physical world, we see a light is coming in Christ Jesus. So I'm inviting you to look at your life and the shadows in your life. The darkest places, even the darkest places in your own heart. To look at the darkest places in your relationships with others. And to see that in those dark places is where the gospel is intended to shine the most brightly. In our lives, have you known the gospel to shine? Have you been in misery? Have you been in sorrow? And has Christ met you there and given you those answers? If you are in Christ, this should certainly be the testimony in your life. That I have been in darkness. I have been in shadow. I have felt the burden of my own sin. And God the Father has answered the burden of my own sin with the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. So we look for darkness to yield light. In Hosea 6:1, where we will be looking this afternoon, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us." That's a scary picture. He has torn us. He has wounded us. We heard the story this morning of a lady who was playing, and people were playing together in what wasn't meant to be a full contact sport. But a big man fell into the side of a woman's knee, and her knee bent, and she heard some crackle. As you imagine that, we wince at the idea of being broken. We wince at the idea of our joints being bent the wrong way. But here we see that this is supposed to happen. "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us." We look and we see that the hours of darkness are intended to move to light. Our next step is to see that tied up people are everywhere. Is that the reality? Is that the reality? Do you see that tied up people are everywhere? Again, while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases, and those who were demon-possessed, tied up people are everywhere. One of the things about our aimless distraction that we enjoy with television, the other day we were watching a show and I was getting stressed and I had to stop and tell myself, this is just a show. This is just a show. These are just actors. These people are just pretending. But it seems as if we are able to move into these alternate worlds and see people fixing themselves and healing themselves. And when things are so distressful in these scenes, we say, but that's just fake and I don't have to worry about it. And we go there to get away from reality. Some of it, we might even go there to get away from the struggles in our own house. Things are a mess here. I'm going to go watch Netflix. I'm going to go head over here and I'm going to find my comfort. And when it gets so intense here for me that I have to say, but they're just actors. It doesn't even matter. And if I boil it down to reality, I would have to say, right, those are actors who are in sin, living in sin, and they're on their way to hell probably. Then the burden is right back. Tied up people are everywhere. Tied up people are in your own house. Tied up people probably live with you. Tied up people are your neighbors. Tied up people are your coworkers. Tied up people might be the people you go to school with, your students, your teachers. Tied up people are everywhere. And what is the response that we see? That everyone who has anyone who is sick with various diseases and demons are to be brought to Christ. Now that's a heavy, heavy thought for us if you take a moment and think about the people who are in your life. Who do you know that's tied up? That doesn't know Christ? That isn't walking with Him? How many of those people have we actually brought to Him? We see true love and true concern does that. And this is our third step. Bring them to Him. Again, verse 40. All those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Him. Now, what does this look like to bring them to Him? Some imagine it's just to try to get them to come to church. And once we've done that, we've done our thing. That's really not it. Should everybody come to church? Yep. Certainly, everyone should come to church. Should we do anything that we can to get people here? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. This isn't the place where we cultivate an environment to get as many people to come as possible. This really is the place where we come to give God His worship. It's His service. It's a service to Him. That's why we do what we do here, the ways that we do it. This is supposed to be for Him. Now, can we introduce people to Jesus at church? Yep. Does He meet with us here? Yep. Is it good to bring people to church? Yep. All good. Those are good things. But how do you introduce somebody to Jesus? How would you introduce somebody to me? It'd be a good idea before you bring them to me, you warn them, probably. You tell them a few things ahead of time. You may say, brace yourself as you meet this fellow. It wouldn't be a bad idea with Jesus either. Tell them about Him. Maybe even say, brace yourself. He's not like anyone you have ever met or heard of. He's all good. He's all powerful. He's all loving. He always tells the truth. And He loves everybody that comes to Him and calls on Him. And He will work all things together for good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purposes. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you if you will be His. We bring people to Him. We introduce Him. We look for Him to work. And this brings us to our fourth step. Trust His care. Again, verse 40, part of the way through. And laying His hands on each one of them, He was healing them. This idea of putting his hands on them. If you are like me, you are not so inclined every time you see a sick person in public to put your hands on them. If you're walking down the street and someone looks sick, you might move to the other side of the sidewalk. If you're walking down the street and you see someone that you would imagine would be demon-possessed, our first inclination would not be to put our hands on them. We see Jesus Christ has a different attitude, a better attitude, a perfect attitude. The people who are bound, the people who are sick, the people who are lost, he goes to them and he puts his hands on them. Verse 40 again. And laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. We see ourselves, if we are walking in Christ, what's the obligation, if I can say it that way, to look around and see each of the people who are around us that are bound and to bring them to Jesus. So I ask you now, who do you see that's bound? Who do you know? Members of your own household. Your closest neighbors. Co-workers, fellow students. Who do you see that is bound? And how can you bring them to meet Jesus Christ? Our fifth step, as we would live this, is to look for cleansing. We see in verse 41, demons also were coming out of them. This idea of cleansing or washing, some of us have known this experience, and I'll say I hope we all have known this experience. We have felt ourselves to be unclean. We have felt ourselves to be dirty. Which of us haven't worked outside for some period of time or worked in some unsavory environment where we felt dirty, we felt unclean. We felt as if when we got home, we needed to get a shower. When Leslie and I first had gotten married, she worked in a nursing home. And I would be eager for her to come home. And when she would come home, I would go to give her a hug. And several times she said, "Stop. You don't want to touch me. And you don't want to know why. Let me go get a shower." Have you felt that? The grime, the stench, the uncleanness. Have you worked in an environment where the very air felt toxic? And you felt as if you couldn't get clean? Psalm 51, verse 7. David, having been in sin, the sin having been announced, him feeling the guilt of it even more as it had been announced and proclaimed, said, "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The expectation is that each of us know what it's like to have been washed and to be made whiter than snow. To be made clean. To be known as righteous in God's sight, that our sin has been removed. As far as the heavens are above the earth, far as east from west is distant, he has made this the reality as Jesus has paid for our sins. That we have known cleansing, that we have known washing, and you say, "Wow, you got to try that shower. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's the perfect cleansing. The perfect washing." It is having been made clean. And from that place, we are here. Our sixth step, which is testify about Jesus. What is testifying? Well, if we watch TV and we've seen any court TV, we know what a testimony is. Somebody gets up and they are there and they tell what they know. What do you know about Jesus? What do you know about him? What do you know about who he is? What do you know about what he has done? This is the testimony that we bring. Now, we see something unusual. I'm glad it's unusual in my ministry that demons are coming out of people and they're shouting that you are the Son of God. This would be one of the most terrifying things that any of us have ever seen at this point. Maybe the most terrifying things, as people are shrieking. Shrieking. So here we are, the sun is setting. There's sick people all around, crippled people all around, people trying to keep their family members from running away because they want nothing to do with Jesus of Nazareth. And people are screaming, "You are the Son of God," and falling to the ground. There's something that happens when you hear a blood-curdling scream, isn't there? Does something to you when you hear that. You think someone is dying. Something terrible is happening. In my family, growing up, you were not permitted to scream. Children were not permitted to scream. You were allowed to scream if you were dying and you needed help. Apart from that, you were not allowed to scream. I think we probably have a similar situation here. People didn't run around screaming bloody murder unless there was bloody murder taking place. Here we have people with unclean voices, with unclean spirits, things that had been made perfect and holy, twisted and distorted and ugly, the exact opposite of what they were meant to be, screaming and crying out, "You are the Son of God." What we see here is vile critters snatched up in terror and shouting in fear. Jesus says, "Shut up. You don't speak. You don't say that." Why? Why? Was it true? Yeah, it was true. But Jesus says, "You don't say that." Why? Because it's not their testimony to give. It's yours. It's yours. The demons aren't allowed to say it because it's been given to the church. It's been given to you to say, "Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Holy One." The purpose of our salvation, to glorify God, to love Him more beautifully and perfectly, and to love our neighbors, comes out as we testify about Jesus being the Son of God, to see people trust in Him and to see people cleansed. They knew who He was. They knew Him to be the Christ. But rebuking them, He would not allow them to speak because they knew Him to be the Christ, which is what? Prophet, priest, and king. They knew that He was the prophet that spoke the truth and revealed God and was the full manifestation of His glory. They knew Him to be the priest who would lay down His life for the sins of the people. They knew Him to be the king. That is what Christ is. The one who has all power and all authority in the world. And He tells them to shut up because that's your message, church, Christian. It's your message to speak. How will the bound be untied? How will the afflicted and oppressed and possessed be delivered? But by the hand of Christ, as it comes through the power of your testimony now, we bring the bound to Jesus. We proclaim the good testimony. We look for true cleansing and healing, which must take place in our houses, with our neighbors, our coworkers, all who are sick, all who are demon-possessed. Commit yourself to this, Christian. Pray. Pray with me now. Our God, help us and bless us. God, help us to see the bound around us. God, convict us with true compassion and true love. May we not give ourselves to aimless distraction to get away from the obligation to share your testimony. God, bless us and equip us and strengthen us. Convict us of our sin of silence. And we will proclaim you faithfully in this world. God, and we plead for you that your kingdom will come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that all the nations and all the people will give you your worship and to give you your praise as they trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, and as they are engrafted into your church and your kingdom. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.